Welcome to the REI Mastermind Network, where host Jack Haas gathers amazing stories from leaders in real estate investing. In each episode, our guests will tell you what they're doing that works, what they've tried that failed, and best of all, you'll learn actionable steps to take your real estate investing to the next level. Now, here's Jack with another value-packed episode.
Kelly Kuntz joins me here today, and you can learn what he and his team are up to by heading over to submetersolutions.com/podcast. And the domain name there probably says it all. We're going to be talking about submetering your multifamily investments to regain some of that or recover some of that lost utility costs. Really appreciate your time here today, Kelly.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here, Jack. Nice to meet you and get a chance to speak with your listeners about what we think is a really important part of their ownership in multifamily properties.
Yeah, this was something that I personally had kind of a struggle with in one situation. We had bought a trailer park and they were not subdivided at that point. And we were trying to figure out all ways and any ways in which to pass on some of that utility costs back to the resident. So this should be an interesting conversation.
Yeah, we think so. And, you know, just to dive right in, Jack, and using your mobile home park property as an example, you and your listeners are really faced with not a whole lot of options on what they're going to do to try to recover those utility costs. And I know you know quite well, those are not insignificant. The most expensive line items on your profit and loss report for the year, maybe rivaling even your taxes and whatnot. But the options that have always been around are trying to recover that inside your monthly rent and hope and pray that maybe you picked the right number to cover that with the utility. There's certainly other methods that involve ratio-based, trying to charge back to the residents the amount of the bill or a fixed fee broken out from the monthly rent each month. But we believe that the best method is to actually sub-meter, and we're going to talk about what that means. But when you add a meter to each individual unit and now use that usage from the meter to charge them exactly what they use, that's the best of all worlds. And it's not just for the owner, but the resident also benefits because now they're only paying for what they use. And as the property owner manager, you're collecting all of those costs back, and it doesn't become an opportunity for you to lose money.
Well, let's start with what type of utilities are you able to submeter? Are we talking about electric, gas, water, all of the above? Anything I'm missing?
All of the above, certainly water and sewer if you've got sewer. And typically sewer is calculated based on your water usage. So those tend to be the most common, but certainly gas can be included and even electricity. So we would suggest that if you've got none of those utilities currently individually metered and charging to their resident, you start with the electricity. That's probably the biggest bang for your buck to get control of that.
So I have one instance that I'd be curious about. We have an apartment building that is heated by a boiler. Is that something that can be subdivided? Because right now I'm paying heat for all of those units in that particular building.
Right. Is the boiler powered by gas or electricity?
Gas.
Gas. So the short answer is yes. There's a couple methods we can use. Just in brief, we have some devices to keep track of when the thermostat goes on and off in every individual unit. And then we can use that information to allocate the bill through the whole building and split up that gas bill. So yes, whether it's an actual meter measuring gas or electricity or water, or in some cases, some devices that are measuring time, it's most of the time we can come up with a solution for you on how to submeter.
So I'd be curious, like this, there's a number of occupations that seem relatively accidental in nature. How did you find your way into this?
Oh, that's a great question. I spent the early part of my career in manufacturing, specifically. We're in the Seattle area, and so in the shadow of Boeing, and I built airplane parts for the first 25 years of my career. I have a very dear friend who is an electrical engineer, and he actually founded Submeter Solutions as a single after-work kind of project of selling gas and water meters online. And I joined him 14 years ago. So that's how I found my way to this industry. Like most people, didn't know a whole lot about utility meters and billing services, but and a lot of people will be surprised to hear that there is a whole industry out there that is devoted to figuring out how to solve this problem with multifamily properties. There's a number of companies throughout the United States that do what Submeter Solutions does. And I'm thrilled to be a part of this now. And my office now jokes with me that they give me the title Kelly the Meter Man, but that's kind of where I've come from. So,
hey, if it sticks, right, might as well go with it. So, you know, sometimes this type of project, when we were looking at this type of thing for the mobile home park, it was fairly costly and kind of disruptive. I mean, it was kind of a big project, especially in that particular thing. Could you kind of give us a snapshot of what type of project or what somebody would have to prepare for in this situation?
Absolutely. And, you know, using a mobile home park right out of the gate is an example of where it could be costly. Although I think that if we had an opportunity to provide a proposal for you on your project, we probably are going to give you some ideas that are less costly than what you may have heard before. It all starts, whether you've got an apartment or a manufactured housing or a strip mall, with adding a meter at every individual unit. So many times an apartment building, that's pretty relatively simple. Find the water line going into the building or the unit. Sometimes that's near a hot water heater. Sometimes it's in a garage. It's not that big of a deal to have a plumber or your handyman install a small water meter on that line. Now, and we'll talk about some of those specific costs in a few minutes, Jack. But at a mobile home park, you may have received a proposal to have the water line dug up in the ground outside and a meter pit box installed in the ground and a waterproof water meter that utility grade that can survive when it gets buried underwater. And we can do those kinds of installations too, but quite often with mobile home parks, we're able to put a meter under the home above ground, still on the incoming water supply line. It uses a meter that is a little less expensive because it doesn't have to survive being immersed underwater. And along with that, we're going to pair that meter with a wireless reading system, which is going to send the meter usage data to a reading system that's going to push that data up to the cloud. So that's going to cut down substantially on those installation costs, which are really the thing that potentially can drive up the overall costs. I think you'll be very surprised to hear that the hardware itself is relatively inexpensive.
Well, is there a kind of a rule of thumb that you can provide, like at what point, whether it's analyzing your bill or what have you, what point is it feasible to consider something like this?
Well, we would like to think that, you should be considering it at any point. And we're happy to send you a proposal and you can run your numbers or we'll help you run that return on investment calculation for you. To give you some better examples, we'll start with an apartment building. Say you have a 10-unit apartment building. The actual hardware costs to have a water meter, we're going to use that as the best example. The meter and the transmitter themselves is only about $120 for each unit. Then in addition to the 10-meter transmitters that you're going to need, you're going to need a couple thousand dollars more for the gateway and the commissioning services to get that all installed. Now, that hasn't installed the meters on the line, but a local plumber is probably going to be able to do that for between $100 and $300 per unit, depending on the specific application. So those are some really solid numbers to use, and you can scale that up if it's a 100 unit property, and certainly use it if it's a 2 unit or 3 unit triplex. One of the misnomers about submetering, which frankly has been around 20, 25 years or more, is that this is really only suitable to the big guys, the 100 unit properties and more. But what we have found is that the advantages of submetering can be taken advantage of at any size multifamily properties. And we've got equipment that fits well if it's a triplex. And then we also can even provide you with those monthly billing services, even at very small property sizes as well.
I would imagine that this type of equipment would also give you some insights on your residents. Like, it keeps coming to that 80-20 rule. I would imagine that you're going to find that you have some individuals in your 12-plex, or in my case, it would be a 12-plex, that are consuming way more than everybody else, and you just really don't have that insight right now.
That's exactly right, Jack. And that 80-20 rule applies everywhere, including water usage or utility usage in general. And if you think about that with your 12-plex as an example, if you're trying to recover those costs inside the monthly rent or spreading it out evenly, you've got one or two residents that are making off like bandits and 10 or 11 residents that are really paying more than they should and probably not happy about that. So submetering resolves that problem completely. Now all the residents pay exactly for what they use, and it's the most fair way of doing this.
We had some water damage not too long ago in that exact building. And I would imagine, would this type of thing also help detect some of that early so that we could have avoided some of that?
Yeah, perhaps. One of the things that's probably one of the most exciting technology improvements we're seeing in the last, say, 5-6 years has been leak detection. So let me talk about that. Certainly, if you've got water meters on the water supply lines, probably the best example that we'll call a leak detection is just a toilet flapper that's running water in a toilet. And now that's not maybe causing water damage, but it is for sure causing a big bill coming to you, the property owner. The studies that we see and have done are that a standard, not a very big, but just a slow running toilet flapper leak can be $170 to $200 a month in water and sewer costs. So it's not insignificant. Well, with technology now, our meter reading systems have algorithms that can identify when water is constantly running for more than 24 hours. And now our systems will send that property owner or maintenance manager a text or an email alert that says, hey, you need to go check out unit 11. The water's running and something's not right. So rather than waiting 45 to 60 days to see a big bill and deal with that, you get feedback right away.
Yeah, you know, we have a tendency of residents, in that case, the toilet is running, they will sometimes not open a maintenance request. It's not their problem. You know, it's something that's not top of mind. So that it's just not a thing. And then now you're the one who's paying for it.
Water is essentially free to them, right? It doesn't matter how much they use or how little they use. You know, that also, Jack, brings home the point that when we go into a property that has traditionally not been submetered at all and the water has been provided as part of their rent, and we add a meter system, what will happen is in 2 to 3 months, the overall water bill is going to drop 20, sometimes as much more than 30%. And that's powerful. And it's very easy to explain. It's human nature. When we now have to pay for what we use, we are more responsible for it. We use less. And so that's a super powerful part of what will happen when you add meters and start submetering.
Well, I would imagine that with more and more attention on our environment and a few other things, that becomes a pretty significant motivation for some landlords who have that as top of mind. It's something that they want to take more cautious steps.
Absolutely. And that's a big part of what's happening in our society and in many parts of the country It's now becoming building code. We're here on the West Coast, California, Oregon, Washington. You can't build a brand new multifamily anymore without planning to put meters in every unit. So this is responsible for society going forward.
Just to remind everybody, head over to submetersolutions.com/podcast to learn what Kelly and his team can help you with. Again, it's submetersolutions.com/podcast. That's going to be a clickable link in the show notes. If you found some value in what we're talking about so far, share this with one of your investor friends. And if you're watching us on YouTube, give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. So, Kelly, can you give us some examples of recent examples of some companies that have implemented your solutions and what type of savings or how this really worked out for them?
Yeah, we do projects all across the country, and they can be from large high rises. I was literally at a 28-story brand new high rise in Northern Virginia personally just a couple weeks ago. It has over 400 units, and we were putting a water submetering system in there and just getting everything online with that. So that's certainly the one extreme example of a large property that knows the value of this, and they will be sending utility bills to every resident for water and sewer as they add new residents to their property. But we also very regularly will have sold throughout the country equipment for 3 and 4 unit small properties, retrofits, as well as new construction. And we have seen electric metering systems for projects where back when the building was built, the utility put 1 meter in for the whole property. And that at the time that seemed reasonable, but now electricity, like anything else, is just so expensive that the owners want to take advantage of passing those costs along. So we literally, I just saw a 10-unit project go out the door a little earlier this week for an electric metering system. The meters that we sell are not intrusive in terms of how easy they are to install at the electrical panels. It can be done by easily by an electrician or even a handyman. And those property owners are seeing the drop in the utility bill costs, just like I had mentioned. So it's very fun for me to talk to clients about 6 months out, and they are always very happy with the results so far. You know, Jack, it's worth mentioning that so far we've really talked and focused on the hardware, but our business is really kind of two parts. Yes, we're going to help you get the metering system in place, which is going to include the meters and a way to read those remotely. But also we are able to provide that property with monthly utility billing services after that equipment is installed as well. So let me touch on that a bit. We will read the meters remotely every month. We will get the data from the actual costs that the utility is charging the property, typically from the actual utility bill or from published rates. And then using our industry software, we will create an actual bill for every resident and charge them what their line item costs are. And we can break that down to as many line items that are needed. We match the same strategy the utility uses with fixed costs, variable costs. And we'll send that bill to the resident via mail or email every month. And then on that bill, it'll have instructions on how that resident's going to remit their payment. Many times our clients request that it gets sent directly to them, which is no problem. Or sometimes our clients want us to collect that money each month and then just reimburse it to them once a month on what we receive. We'll take care of that accounting and banking for them. So all of those services, here's the fun part. We will pay ourselves to do that by adding a small utility billing fee on the bill each month. So generally, the service of billing those residents is free to the property owner or manager because we're able to recover our costs directly from the residents.
Yeah, I was just going to ask how that worked out and how and the cost of associated, but it sounds like you essentially pay for yourself in just billing it directly to the end users or the tenants.
Exactly. And that's not a big fee. There are some parts of the country that regulate that. So we're always very careful to make sure that everything we do with billing is in full compliance with any state or county or city codes. We have a whole database to check on that. It's important to remind all of your listeners that submetering is not a place to make profits. That's a no-no. We're only going to recover those actual costs that your utility is charging the property. But we're going to work super hard to make sure that what you recover from your residents is absolutely as much as the actual costs are and not more that would potentially get you in trouble if you're overcharging.
So you say it's a no-no. Why is that?
Well, if you start adding on a profit margin on there, most government agencies will now consider you as a utility, and you don't want to be regulated as a utility. The industry and the laws accordingly are set up so you can recover all those costs, but this isn't an opportunity to make money.
Sure. What about trying to recoup the investment in putting in this extra equipment?
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned that the relatively inexpensive cost for water submetering in an apartment still is going to potentially cost you a few thousand dollars up front. But if you are now passing those actual monthly costs on to your residents, then our return on investment calculations are always less than 1 year before you're going to recover that. We very commonly see property owners decide that they will maybe even give a small rent reduction when they incorporate this or not pass on any increase for a year because you're now going to start paying your actual utility costs separately. So we can help you with the best methodology to what works best for your situation to implement this.
So I'm curious because you have to have some tips and tricks for individuals. Let's say they're just not ready to implement something like this, but they would like to take like even a small step towards metering. Is there anything that can be purchased off the shelf or anything that can be just strategies or tactics that can be implemented now to prep the tenants for this type of thing?
Yeah, I'll share a couple different avenues there. I think I answer what you're getting at. One way that you could dip your toe into this, maybe you don't want to spend the money on the metering equipment, but you would like to start sending those bills every month to your residents. We can set you up with what would be considered a ratio utility billing service. The acronym in our industry is RUBS. And we could set that up where we're sending a bill to the residents. Now, that's only going to be based on a mathematical allocation, maybe number of occupants, square footage, how many bathrooms each unit has. You're not going to get the benefit and the power of charging the resident exactly what they use. So you may not be changing behavior, but you are getting used to the billing process and the residents are getting used to paying that separately from their rent. That's one method of toe dipping. We could certainly get you going with one or two meters as well that allow you to put it on a system, find out how easy it is to install relative, you know, what the relative issues are with your specific property. And also you would get the data on that. Maybe you've got one resident that you know is just the big user and you can now turn that assumption into real life data if you just wanted to meter one or two units. For very, very small properties, sometimes we have clients that love the idea of submetering and they buy a meter reading system from us, but they really don't want that the cost and hassle of the billing service. We have many clients that will buy the hardware and do the billing themselves. And we have a video that you can get from us to set yourself up to do that in-house. But especially if it's a very, very small property, a triplex, for example, and you're comfortable with an Excel spreadsheet at 15 minutes every month to do that, you may decide to do that yourself. But in a lot of our competitors, the big nationwide billing companies that love those 100, 200 unit apartments, they don't even want to talk to you unless you have 50 or 100 units or more. we're thrilled to talk to anybody at any size property and get you set up for how this can work for you.
Well, it's been really an interesting conversation, Kelly. Before we jump into the rapid fire questions and closing out this episode, is there a question or concept you think we should have tried to cover here today?
I think you've done a good job of painting a picture on the broad sense. I'm glad we talked about the leak detection. That is ever increasingly a big request that we're getting. We mentioned the toilet flapper leaks. We're also now seeing equipment that works with our metering hardware that can even detect and alert for water or a tub overflowing. And if you're interested in something like that, give us a call. We've got some great systems on that. You know, it's one of the things that we know all of our customers need to do is they need to justify this with how is it a good return on your investment. So with any property, we treat them uniquely. We come up with the right equipment that's going to work best for your property, and then we'll help you calculate what that ROI is for your individual property so that you can make a good sound decision on whether this makes sense.
Just to remind everybody, head over to submetersolutions.com/podcast for more of that information. But Kelly, if you're ready, we'll jump into a few of these rapid fire questions.
I am ready.
Well, first of all, what lie do business owners tell themselves and sometimes to others?
I will tell you that a longtime business owner myself, I think that we are sometimes a little fooled in our guts and what we hope versus what the numbers tell us. So what's been a super valuable lesson for me throughout my career is, you know, yes, your instinct is probably getting you some good experience, but follow the data. The data is going to really tell you where you need to, what's happening, where you need to go.
Sure. Do you have a book recommendation or what are you reading right now?
You know, that's a great question. I just finished a book club review with a couple of my CEO friends of mine that we just finished reading Walter Isaacson's biography on Elon Musk. And, you know, everybody has an opinion about Elon, and he can be very polarizing, good and bad. But I would encourage everybody to read it. And I think the issue that we tackled as leaders of companies in my book club was, where are we risk averse? And what is it, what's holding us back that maybe Elon has demonstrated that he's certainly not risk adverse. And that's been a challenge for me. It makes me think about what am I not doing that I should be.
If you could go back in time and give your younger self one piece of advice, what would that be?
I would be maybe a two-parter. It would certainly say to make everyday decisions that are for the big picture. And that would include both business and family. You know, don't assume that you can get away maybe cutting corners or putting off something this week. I can do that later. But to really understand that what we do in the little everyday events is going to affect our lives in the big picture. And now that I'm in my 60s, I would love to have a conversation with 25-year-old Kelly and really drive that home.
What single strategy, process, or tool have you implemented that has had the biggest time-saving impact to you and your business?
The most impactful thing for Submeter Solutions, especially in the last 3 years, has been to focus on our culture and our team. And there's a process improvement and certainly customer satisfaction, but all of those things can, in our world, take a second place to just making our a workplace, fantastic place to come. We spend way too much time here as part of our lives. These people that we work around are people that we may spend more time with than our own families sometimes. So we are just obsessive about making sure that we have a great culture here, that we embrace our core values, and we deal with problems and conflicts. We're happy to have conflicts. And that when we pick a new player for our team, that they're going to be a humble, hungry, and smart player that fits us well.
Well, Kelly, this has been a great conversation. One last time, you could learn more about what Kelly's team is up to by going to submetersolutions.com/podcast. And really appreciate your time here, Kelly. This was a great conversation. It was great to meet you.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. I appreciate your time. Good luck on your mastermind network. And yeah, let us know if we can help with any of your submeters.
Have you learned at least one actionable step to incorporate into your real estate investing? If so, please consider returning some of that value by leaving a positive review, subscribing to our YouTube channel, or joining our growing network on Facebook and Twitter. You can find links to all of our social media accounts in the show notes. See you next time.